Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Greetings, everyone. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to want to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Laquita Monley. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Welcome to the podcast. I can't, you know, she does so many different things. I don't know what to call her, minister, doctor. She's all over the place. She's doing everything. Military wife. Please introduce yourself to the audience out there, please.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Tommy. As you said, my name is Laquita Monley, and I am a proud military spouse. My husband served 24 plus years active duty Army. I'm a mother of five amazing adult children, grandmother of five very active grandkids. And, you know, all of those things have come together over the years to shape and mold me into the minister of the gospel that I am today, as well as a John Maxwell certified speaker, coach, and trainer.
Wow, that is amazing. I love it. You're doing so many great things. And thank you for the service for yourself and your husband, because it's definitely a family effort once you get someone in the military. So thank you for that effort as well. You have a book coming out, right?
I do have a book coming out in March. The book is called Redefining Success, and I'm super excited about it. It took me a while to get it together. It was a process in the writing, let me say that. Tons of content. It was just processing the writing, but it is now in the hands of the editors there at Thrive Publishing with the founder, who's a sister, Talisha Berry. So I'm just absolutely excited. And that book is going to come out in March of this year.
Awesome. So folks, be on the lookout for that book. What's the name of it one more time?
Redefining Success.
I like that. Great title. I love it. So Laquita, you know that Resilient Stories Podcast is a podcast that, you know, focuses on bringing amazing people like you and really having you, you know, be genuine with us in terms of challenges you face and helping the audience kind of learn the blueprint in terms of what it took for you to overcome those obstacles and be the success you are today. So my first question, I'll start with this. Tell us a little bit about one of the biggest challenges you face, either personally or professionally.
The biggest challenge that I face actually is a personal challenge. And I've discovered through that spills over into your professional life. But the biggest challenge that I overcame was being a teenage mom and married at 18. That was, you know, my life choices, so my life consequences. But it took me a lot of years to, I don't want to say necessarily overcome. There was a lot of adversities, but it took me a long time to realize the blessing in the midst of that.
Sure.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Sure. And I appreciate you sharing that, because we have a lot of listeners out there who may have been teenage moms themselves, may have kids who are teenage moms, or may know someone who's teenage moms as well. You know, for many folks who may be seeing and hearing about teenage moms from a distance, tell us about the feelings that kind of go into that situation when you heard that you were now a teenage mother. You know, I was a teenage father, and I remember the first time getting the news saying, whoa, I'm now responsible at the age of 18 for another human being. As excited as I was, thankful as I was, there was a big fear over me as well, saying, wow, I got to actually straighten up and
do something, right?
Yeah, so tell us about the feelings that kind of came over
me. Up until that point in my life, I had a pretty kid. Well, there were some adversities and challenges. I mean, you know, most people have adversities and challenges, but by and large, I was surrounded by an amazing family. And being raised by my paternal grandmother, my dad's mom, I was the only kid. So I was living my best life. All I had to do was go to school and play sports. And then, you know, I made a decision one day that turned out not to be a real good decision. And I ended up pregnant. And for some months, for some weeks, actually, I did not realize I was pregnant, to be flat out honest. My husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, he said it to me. And when he first said, friends and family called me Quasha. He said, Quasha, I think you're pregnant. And I'm like, how would you know? How would you know?
Right.
That was my first lesson that men pay a lot of attention to us for different reasons.
Yes.
But when he said that, I rejected it. Mm-hmm. And he went and bought the home pregnancy test. Wow. And I love sports. And so we went out, played basketball all day because he knew it would force me to drink water. Okay. And that would force me to have to go to the bathroom. Huh? And he popped out the test. And when I wouldn't even stay to look at the results. Wow. He stayed to look at the results. And when he told me what the results were, I lost it. Wow, I lost it. I'm like, my whole life is ruined.
Yeah. How old were you at the time?
I was 17.
17 years old. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so still in high school, right?
I was still in high school.
I was still
in high school, enjoying a very active high school life, right? Like I said, all I had to do was go to school, get good grades. And if I'm the sports that I chose to play, which at that time was basketball and track. Uh-huh. Just be the best student athlete that I can be. And I was in the middle of doing that, and a bad decision ended up at that moment in my life, I thought it was going to cost me everything. And so I won't say I spiraled out of control, but I did spiral into a depression.
Yeah.
Because everything that had been in my head mapped out and planned out, that's gone. Like, you know, what are we doing? How are we going to do this? And I have to give my husband all the credit that he deserves and then some, because it wasn't until years later when I was more mature that I realized he was having his own emotional breakdown. But because I was actively having it, I didn't see him. He didn't let me see him crack up under the pressure.
Absolutely. Man, I mean, you guys sound like an unbelievable team there. You know, so going back to the place where you get the news and you start find yourself going into depression, man. How did you manage to cope in that particular situation? Who did you turn to? What did you do to kind of keep yourself going, you know?
To keep going. So I ended up turning to my auntie, my dad's brother, my Aunt Margaret. And right. I'm, you know, you're thinking in your head as a kid, who can I tell? Who can I talk to? OMG. And she came to mind. So my very first time skipping school, I skipped school to go to the hospital because she worked in the hospital.
Really?
And to go to the hospital to tell her. And it's amazing how intuition, or I should say discernment, works. It's like when she saw me coming, she can tell. Oh. First of all, it was in the middle of school and I'm looking for her at work.
Right.
Something was wrong. And right. She just took one look at my face and said, you're pregnant, aren't you? And I broke down.
Wow. Wow.
I broke down right there at the hospital with her, but amazing. She is absolutely amazing. She took the ball from there, not only just encouraging myself, but also my cousin, who coincidentally enough, we were making bad decisions at the same time, so she was pregnant too.
Right.
And my boyfriend, who is now my husband. She encouraged us and set it up to make it possible for us to be able to tell everybody else and our families without it. I mean, it was going to be a confusion, but without it being mass confusion.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, was there a piece of advice that she gave you going through this process to kind of help you?
Really, all she did, looking back on it, was just reaffirm to me who I was.
Mm.
She reaffirmed to me that I am still the amazing young lady that I'd always been. Well, and no matter what people might think and say to me, don't let that bother me, because the Quasha who was the honor roll student, track star, basketball star, had lots of college prospects. I'm still that same Quasha, and everybody in the family still loves and supports you. And so she made sure of that I knew that consistently.
Wow. Kudos, sir. What was Sean's name?
Margaret.
Auntie Margaret, kudos.
Yes, Auntie Margaret.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. I love it. So, you know, when you look back on your darkest day, though, you know, there are a lot of people who will find themselves in that situation, Laquita, and will continue to make further bad choices, even worse mm-hmm. choices. You know? On your mm-hmm. darkest day, what made you keep going to say, hey, you know what? I need to turn this thing into a positive. On your darkest day, what motivates you to keep going?
And my darkest day, probably I would have to fast forward it past the teenage pregnancy and into being a teenage wife. Mm-hmm. You know, but fast forward to that, and we're in 1999. My oldest son was born in 1995. And by 1997, I was married. You bring us to 1999, and I've been married for a few years and added more kids.
Sure.
And in my darkest moment, it was, I felt like my life was worthless. Like I could not that I was, I've never been suicidal, but I have been in a place where I just felt worthless. Here it is, you know, we've been married a few years now. We married in 97, we've been married a couple of years. By this point, we've added two more children to the mix. So I've got three children. And I haven't been to college. I only have a high school diploma. We're drowning in debt. Mm-hmm. And the Army has told my husband, you've got to go to Korea for wow. a year. And he's got this new position now in the Army that is really, he transitions from being a mechanic to being an all-source intelligence analyst. And so that required different levels of clearances. So our credit had to be immaculate, and we were in this debt. And I felt that there was nothing I can do to contribute to the household to get out of the situation, but everything that I was doing was contributing to making the situation worse. That by far was one of the darkest periods of my life. And no matter what anybody was saying to me at that moment, it wasn't helpful. You know, my husband was concerned about postpartum depression because I suffered from postpartum depression. And he came in one afternoon and found me in our kids' room, just sitting on the floor. I remember going in and sitting on the floor to put clothes away, but I don't remember even him coming in. By the time I do have a remembrance of that, he'd already come in, got the kids together, dinner was ready, kids were, you know, he'd settled the kids, and, you know, he's sitting there and we're looking at me and we're talking. It's like, what is going on with you? And I had no idea. Wow. Like at that point in time, I was familiar with postpartum depression because, you know, people have been speaking to me about it,
sure.
But just full on depression. I'm from Mississippi, from a small town in Mississippi. Black people don't do that.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. You know, Black people don't do that.
Right.
We definitely don't take medication. We don't talk to people.
Right.
You know, we don't do that. So my ability to even understand that at that point was non-existent. And so I ended up staying in that state for several years until about 2001, 2000, about 2001, when I did finally seek out professional help. And that was only due to a neighbor who is a wonderful sister out of DC. We were stationed at that time in Washington State, and she was seeing a therapist. It's like, well, if she can see one and it's all right, and, you know, Sharia is amazing, then I should be able to see one too and realize that I have been dealing with this for years with an S.
Wow.
For years. Wow. And it was unaddressed.
Wow. That's powerful. And I really appreciate your honesty and your candor about that as well. As you look back today, how would you say that this whole ordeal has kind of shaped you as a person, from one teenage mom having multiple kids and dealing with postpartum stress disorder? How did that all shape you? Because your big success today, how did it all shape who Laquita is today?
So though I was depressed, but still having to do life, you know, waking up every day and knowing that these things had to be done, they needed to be done. So I needed to do the best that I can to get them done. Those things have really shaped me into a very resilient person. Did not understand what that meant at the time, but it shaped me into a very resilient person, because in the back of my mind, the images of the women in my family, some amazing women in my family that have had to overcome all sorts of adversities and obstacles. But in the midst of that, they were still able, to the best of their ability, to keep home together. I would use my mom's mom, my grandmother, my dad's mom, my other grandmother, my aunts, you know, and different women to, you know, okay, if they can do it, then I can do it. Because, you know, this is the 90s. You weren't calling for free in the middle of the day. I didn't live in Mississippi. We couldn't afford a long distance phone call. So, you know, I thank God for what they put in me, the foundations that they put in me, to have a resource to come back to say, okay, LaQuita, you got to keep moving. You got to keep pushing. And then when I did get to that place where I was able to get the professional help and realize what tools I had used as coping mechanisms along the way, I still use those tools as coping mechanisms, but now I knew to use them and speak about it, talk about it,
yeah,
with other women. And that if it had not been for those situations, I would not be the woman that I am today, you know, being able to share my story, being able to coach and minister to other men and women and young couples. If I didn't have the story, then I wouldn't have the necessary tools to be able to properly help them. You know, doing things from a textbook is great. Theory is great, but I've got a lot of practical application behind my belt to go with some of this theory.
Nothing like that at all. So as you look back over the course of your life, and going through the situations here, series of situations over years, would you do anything differently?
No, actually, I wouldn't.
That's a great answer.
I would go back and tell my younger self to calm down. Wow. Calm down. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the bad decisions that I made individually or we made collectively as a couple was mm-hmm. based out of anxiety and fear.
Sure.
Of the unknown. And I would simply tell my younger self, sis, calm down.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Yeah. You know, things are going to work out just the way the Lord wanted them to work out. Yes, these things are going to come. The enemy's going to pop them up, but you already have in you what you need to overcome it. So you just keep pushing.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Just keep pushing. I would, you know, where I am right now, you know, I'm 40 plus. I'm on the closer side of 50 these days. Where I am right now, even having the children early, mm-hmm. I would do it again.
Yeah.
And you that's really just from I like my freedom standpoint, because now a lot of my friends,
yeah,
they've got, you know, young teenagers or young kids, and me and my husband, we're empty nesters and we love it.
That's what I thought. My wife and I, we have a 16-year-old house, and we have 2 more years with him. And we love him to death. We love the other 4 kids as well. But once he's gone, we're going to be empty nesters when we join him. So I love that.
Listen, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You know, we're coming off of 2 years here where people have lost loved ones, lost finances, lost jobs, lost hope, lost family members and friends. What piece of advice can you give those folks out there listening to let them know that in your darkest moment, a brighter day is going to come?
My advice really would come from, I'm a very fundamental Christian. Let me say that. I'm a very fundamental Christian. Mm-hmm. And I would say this to them, that there is nothing new under the sun. If the Lord is allowing this, he's already prepared you and the rest of the world, all the rest of us, to overcome it. So if he's allowing it to happen, he's already made a way of escape. Just look within yourself, because the tools and the answers are already on the inside of you. So for like everyone, and I take nothing away or minimize any of the devastating things that have happened to people across these past 2 years, but there's so many stories of hope overcoming people who were hopeless prior to the pandemic, and in the midst of the pandemic, really having to dig into themselves and has found their greatest victory in the midst of this. I think we all have to look back within ourselves and see where the foundation of our faith is and grab a hold to that and keep pushing, keep moving forward.
Well, that's great advice, folks out there. Hopefully you guys are fired up by hearing LaQuita Monley's story, great advice. And LaQuita, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to contact you?
The best way to contact me is via my social media. That will give you a more immediate response. If they just Google LaQuita Monley, all of my handles are my name on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, as well as on Facebook. And if you are there on my website, you can also find my website there. It's actually under construction right now. So it's revamping, and this new one is going to look even better than the previous one. If you leave your contact information there, I do get those. They come to my phone and I will respond. So yeah.
Awesome, folks. Get out there, support her, follow her. Get ready for that book that's coming out here soon. You're going to be fired up. You're going to be ready to go. So, Laquita, we talked about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun now?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. This part of our podcast is called the Rapid Fire Purpose section. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you a number of questions about purpose. I want you to give me your most concise answer for me and the listeners. And we're going to go from there. You ready?
Ready.
All right, here we go. Buckle in, buckle up. All right. Laquita, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
By taking my adversities and shaping them into a story.
Yeah. What gives your life meaning?
My family.
Good. What one word best describes you?
Persistent.
Good. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Lack of love.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play basketball.
Okay, good. Well, you pretty good hooper?
I am.
All right, good. She said she not was. She said she still is. That's what I'm talking about.
I still
am. That's what I'm talking about. What do you wish you had more time to do?
I wish I had more time to read.
What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Being an attorney.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Who inspires you the most?
I would have to say, oh, it's so many. Mm-hmm. Let me narrow it down. Who inspires me the most? I would have to say my husband, actually.
That's awesome. What's his name?
Ben.
Ben, you the man out there. Shout out to Ben. I love it. I love it. I love it. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
I'm actually pretty quiet, actually. Like, just, I like to just sit in absolute silence.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Love it. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Within the next year on my bucket list, would be to travel to South Africa.
Okay, love it. One of my bucket list goals as well, so I love it. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Oh, I'm going to spend my time ministering to other people no matter what. Mm-hmm. No matter what.
Yeah. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Ooh, I want my grandchildren to say that Granny, like that Granny represents love. Like that's how I feel about my grandmothers. Okay. No matter what, like what's going on. I go to their house, everything else is gonna be all right.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Let's see, if I was a superhero, my superpower would probably be the ability to change people's thinking.
Okay, I'm sure a lot of people out there would love that superpower as well. What sparks your creativity, Laquita?
Adversity, honestly.
Okay.
Good. Adversity, it forces me to think outside the box.
Absolutely, great perspective. People out there know that adversity can be an asset to you. I love it. If you became president today, Laquita, what law would you pass first?
Let me see. If I became president today, now that was a serious thing. If I became president today, what law would I pass first? I would probably So I would probably pass a law for, and please don't hate me, for universal health care.
Yeah.
I've lived outside of the country. I know it works.
Absolutely.
If we work it. If we work it correctly.
Yeah.
If we work it correctly.
So you're getting a lot of amens out there for that one as well. Absolutely. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
If I could follow someone around for a day right now, it will probably be well, he's no longer living, mm-hmm. but if it was possible, I would want to follow Dr. Miles Monroe around for a day.
Awesome. Good pick. I love it. Yeah. And why him?
Because Dr. Monroe, he faced a lot of adversities, but there was like no give up in him. And his impact on the world, whether you are a believer or a non-believer, it's without question. It's without question. It's like, I just would really like to just get inside his head just for a little bit to see how he moved, how he think, how he perceived things. Like, how did he view the world?
I love it. Great answer. What do you love to do for others?
I love to serve others. I love to be a help to other people.
Answer. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Try.
Good. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
I would say, probably there was a situation when I was a teenager where a gentleman was attempting to, well, he had already beat up this lady and he was attempting to do it again. And I was able to intervene to prevent that from happening again. And it was just instinctive. It was very instinctive. I was trying to take her to the hospital to get some help. He was determined to get in the vehicle. Wow. And I was determined not to let him get in my vehicle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. What does success look like for you?
Oh, that's my favorite question. Yeah. Success for me is being able to be present and available for my family, mm-hmm. while yet still being able to do the things that I love to do. That brings income into the household. I don't ever again want to be a place in life where work takes priority over family. Family has to take priority over everything that I do.
I love it. Great answer. What are you most grateful for?
I am most grateful. It's going to have to go back to my family. I'm most grateful for my husband and my kids, my grandkids.
Awesome. I love it. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
The biggest lesson that I've learned in life is I don't know everything.
Yeah, great lesson.
I don't know everything and what balance means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two great lessons. I love it. And last but not least, Laquita, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I would love to be remembered as the woman who left an impact on the people that she was connected with.
Awesome job. Give yourself a round of applause. You survived. Great job. Great job. Folks out there, if you're not excited about Laquita's story, I'm not sure what's going on with you. But, you know, Laquita's been amazing. Laquita, as we go to wrap things up here, I really appreciate you coming on, being honest about your story and everything. Our podcast really centers around resiliency and purpose. What last words can you leave our audience with around resiliency and purpose?
I would say that resiliency is key. And each of us are very resilient. We just need to get to a place where we realize it. And that will come when you know who you are and whose you are, and you begin to pursue your purpose with a passion.
Yes. Great answer. Folks out there, hope you've been inspired by this episode of Resilient Stories. Subscribe to our podcast, download this episode, rate it, review it, share with your folks on social media. And again, if you're someone out there and you have a story of overcoming, we want to hear from you. Please go to TAWatson.com. Everyone else out there, God bless everyone. Peace and deuces.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.